This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Glamorous Trash. This is a celebrity memoir podcast where we get into all of the glamour and all of the trash. I'm your host, Chelsea Devantes. I'm a TV writer, comedian, and filmmaker, and sometimes I'm in stuff too. Oh my gosh. And soon to be author. We are going on tour soon, and at the point of you listening to this, some links have been sent out. Some tickets are up. We are a go. So check out the show notes if you want to come see a show or come to a workshop. There's a ton of stuff. Okay, let's get into it. This is a cookie jar episode, the second in our series of cookie jar episodes, where me and producer Christina Lopez discuss updates to the episodes that we have released. So, you know, we released a Beyoncé episode. There's obviously so many updates to that because the album came out. We had our Taylor, Jessica Simpson, Travis Kelce, Tony Romo throwdown, and we had some amazing new updates. And then we're just gonna talk a little freely, a little looser about everything that this community loves. These are episodes for the book club. You're a cookie if you're in the book club. The book club mostly lives on Patreon. And there is a new thread for IRL cookie meetups. And I need everyone to go to the thread and join in because I think 12 cities have been shouted out. I know Seattle has already met in person. They've gone to a book event. I know Arizona is on their second meetup and more cities are popping up. So if you're part of the Patreon, go to the chat, find your city, find your people. And me and Jordan and Christina and Jaren have been putting together packages to send to our cookie book clubs. And we're putting it together right now, but we are going to send you a box. If you guys want to meet in person, then we want to send you some shit. So go and find it. And now let me bring on our producer, Christina Lopez. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Chelsea. How are you?
How does it feel to be back for the second of our cookie jar series? What's the crumble, Christina?
Back in the saddle, appropriately, for this Calvary Carter to all of it examination of culture. We've had a lot of really lively conversations in the chat, so I'm curious to see what piques your interest that you're going to bring up. Kind of playing blind a little bit.
I know, and I'm curious for yours. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I had surgery on my finger and nail. I will spare you all the details, but it means I'm like one finger down. And the surgeon was like, yeah, but what do you do for a living? I was like, I'm a writer. She was like, oh God. She's like, but you don't use your phone a lot, do you? And I was like, LOL. So I have been reading the chat and loving the chat, but I haven't been participating. I've been kind of like a lurker because I'm down a finger. So I'm excited to like talk about it. Okay, Christina, where do we start? Let's build up to Beyoncé. So Beyoncé will be our finale. I think first we should play the voice note we got about Taylor and Travis and that episode because I found it fascinating.
Hi, this is Laura. I just wanted to follow up on the Taylor and Travis and Jessica and Tony episode. I'm so glad I got a chance to listen to it. And thanks for asking for everyone's opinions. So as a big NFL fan and a Taylor Swift fan, I am not a Swiftie, but I am a fan of Taylor. And she grew up only a couple blocks away from me, and I've been following her career forever. So the main thought that I have on the difference between the situations is it comes down to power. I think this was touched on in Jessica Simpson's memoir, but she was always included in the conversation with other pop singers like Britney and Christina and even Pink. And that set her up to be a topic of discussion instead of an actual three-dimensional person in her own right. And one thing that I think Taylor has done is she stood up to attempts to subjugate her. Just look at the lawsuit against the guy that groped her. She testified and took no shit, and she won the lawsuit. And that was powerful. One thing I wanted to push back on a little bit is I think Corinne said that men are expected to be nicer now. Have you ever been on the internet? Like, I think players who are being interviewed, who are on the same team as a boyfriend who has someone famous that he's dating, like, if your name and your job is being attached to it, that's called accountability. She doesn't want this attention. She came out of a post-Reputation era hibernation period that was encouraged by Joe Alwyn. And now she's having fun with a guy that she loves. And I think that's nice. And I also wanted to give props to Rachel, one of the cookies in the comments, who said that the Texas media environment is a lot more toxic than the Midwest. I am a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I have been for the past 40 years. We have a really intense media environment. So does Boston. There are some media environments that are tougher than others. And I think if anyone was going to embrace Taylor and encourage other fans to be nice to her, it would definitely be the Midwest and definitely Andy Reid, who was the Eagles coach for a long time before he went to Kansas City. Anyway, thanks for tackling this. I had a lot of fun listening to it.
Tackling. I like it. You get it? Tackling. We tackled it.
We see what you did there, tackling. So many great points in that. So another point that Laura made was men on the internet expecting to be nicer. And I think she made the exact distinction that I would have said in reply to, have you been on the internet? Which is men who have to be accountable for themselves. So their real name and face is there. They just have a little bit more of a reason to be nicer on the internet because of accountability. Trolls, however, have gotten far worse. The faceless army, those men on the internet, far, far, far worse. And I also think we were in a moment, I hate to say this in past tense, but I think we were in a moment of true accountability was being taken. I worry that we're kind of coming out of that moment and we'll go back to what we knew.
The thing about the NFL, it's trying to expand to new audiences and broaden their audience base. So the players and the managers might lean more into respectability and being family friendly, where they're not talking about women in a certain way in the interviews that they're giving to the press.
What you said with like football becoming, you know, to more audiences, it's like they're the ones known for like players brutalizing their wives and concussions not being talked about and abuse against gay players and Colin Kaepernick getting on a knee and all that. We had like 2 years where they were like, JK, we want to be better. It was like a 2 year period of like, no one will get on a knee. We'll be okay. We'll make it through this. And then they've come out with Taylor Swift where it's like, yeah, no, built into the culture is like all of that brutality, right?
What does it mean that these sociological issues are converging on this one sport? Like, what is it saying about how this sport taps into what we're having conversations about or disagreements about in the culture at large?
Yeah. And what is it saying that we have talked this long about football on the Glamorous Trash podcast? Okay, let's play another voice note we got about this episode in a completely different direction. And I saw a lot of comments and a lot of DMs that reflected similar feelings to what we're about to listen to.
Hi, Chelsea. Love the pod, but I strongly disagree with the way Taylor Swift was framed in the episode about her and Travis Kelce. I don't really see Taylor Swift as a feminist. I see her more of a capitalist who managed to package white feminism to her fans and to use this version of girl boss feminism to shield herself from any valid critique against her. She regularly talks about slut-shaming and being slut-shamed, yet she slut-shamed Camilla Bell, who's an actress who dated Joe Jonas after they broke up for like 10 years in a song and never apologized. Her fans regularly use these lyrics to attack and harass other people who happen to date her exes or even work with them, like the way they harassed Emma Laird, who's a British actress who was in a movie with Joe Alwyn after they broke up. Go look at her Instagram comments for like 10, 20 pictures deep. Also, they harass Travis Kelce's exes on a regular basis who all happen to be black women and they leave them super racist shit. Also, I'm never gonna forget the Deezus and Mero situation where they were completely harassed, sent awful racist stuff because Mero said a joke about her when they were on Jimmy Fallon. The Swifties didn't just stop at harassment. They doxed Mero and sent him threats to his house that the FBI had to get involved in the situation. In addition, Taylor always frames herself as someone who's a crusader for artists owning their art, but I would strongly recommend you Google Taylor Swift versus concert photographers. It proves that she only cares about artists' rights in regards to her, not everyone else. Also, she's a billionaire suing a 19-year-old college student who's tracking the private jet usage of celebrities and business people, which is, by the way, public information. And the fact that if you tell all this to her fans, their only comeback to you will be, she's a woman, it's misogyny, whatever. It kind of defeats the point of the conversation to begin with. I don't see her fandom as a sign of feminism. I just see it as a sign of toxic fan culture and stan culture.
That is such a great point. Thank you so much for your voice note. A lot of people reacted this way where they said, like, you know, the toxicity to her fan base and the white feminism of it all. And it's interesting because I too have like posted about, I can't even remember why, but posted about, you know, her like slut shaming lyrics. And the response I got was like, she was 19 when she wrote that, you know, and she's growing up and learning. And I also felt like, I love that she got people to register to vote around, I believe it's like 2016 when that happens, maybe 2015 into 2016, but distinctly felt that she had waited to the moment where everyone supported and liked this and then did it, where there are other artists who would push for and do the right thing, even if it was unpopular and get pushback, like the Chicks losing their entire career for speaking out against, you know, George Bush. And so I think those points about like feminism, that's just for you. Yeah. Why would you sue the person tracking your private jet when it is public information? Private jets carrying a small amount of people constantly traveling, like contribute a lot to the environment. Why is it not okay to track and talk about that?
Well, and then that goes back to like, well, why are you singling out Taylor for this when there's X amount of men, X amount of business moguls who are doing the same thing, sometimes worse every day? But that's a little bit of a whataboutism. So that's like a logical fallacy.
Right.
That's a poor argument for anyone to make. I don't know.
Same thing that would happen with Mindy Kaling, where there would be articles written being like, why don't you have any men of color as love interests on your show? And then she would be like, yes, hear you. Like, Jerry Seinfeld only dated white women. Y'all didn't have a problem then. Like, I am the first Indian mainstream, multiple shows on air, but like, I'm supposed to carry the burden of representing everyone perfectly. And I really hear that as well. And you could say that about Taylor of like, what about all the other men doing this? But I do think there's a strong point, and I'm having phantom memories of saying this on an episode we just recorded, but when you make your brand off of doing the right thing, when you make your brand off of feminism, then I think you're expected to uphold it.
It's hard, and I think we might get into some of this when we're talking about Beyonce and Cowboy Carter and some of the response we saw to Sam's critiques of her activism as well. And I think there's another thing to also the level at which they're performing things. Not only are they women in media, but they're performing things that sustained not only entire like careers of people, but entire industries. And so if they make a mistake, it costs not only like their celebrity, but it also costs a lot of people their jobs. The pressure of that is something that I don't think I'll ever begin to understand. Because like, I've only managed interns.
But I think of it even on a small scale. Like when she talks about her fan base being wicked, just the stuff that they did to Desus, these FBI threats, the lengths that they go to, all the racist comments, you do have to look at like, how did that come about? It's the same way with Bachelor Nation. Like that audience is monstrous.
People would say that of Selena Gomez's fans as well. Selena Gomez's fans, Beyonce's fans, Nicki Minaj fans.
And that's fascinating because let's take it even down to like a really small niche. I think about like, who is our audience? And I just feel like so fucking blessed that the right people are here. And in that, I also think, what made that happen? Where could it go wrong? You know, is it just the fact that like Selena, her fame and Beyonce's fame like came about in years where, I don't know, they weren't able to be as open with their fans. Like how do fans grow into that? What happens when someone does something on your behalf that you don't like? But also I know other podcast audiences that are vicious. Like there are certain podcasts where like the hosts keep their comments turned off because it's just monstrous what's in there.
It's hard for me to understand because while I've appreciated other people's art and really enjoy specific artists, I've never felt the need to attack someone to the point of death threat over my appreciation for their work.
Absolutely. I have never felt that impulse. It's hard to relate to. And then to another point she made about Taylor holding up feminism as a shield, as a way for like, you cannot critique her. I've definitely felt this myself before. Do you remember when Amy Poehler and Tina Fey made a joke about her love life at an awards show? And Taylor responded by saying there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women. And I thought it was such a misuse of that quote and of feminism, in that, like, we definitely can't have feminism be that women don't get to, like, make jokes about other women or, like, have thoughts about other women, because it was not a harsh joke. And so to be like, if you don't like everything I do and always be nice to me, it's not feminist, I just think that is, like, such a harmful distortion. And also what's funny is that that original quote was from Madeleine Albright, who was using it at the UN when she was working with six other female ambassadors. And so that quote was really misused in Taylor's context. And then, funnily enough, Madeleine Albright would misuse her own quote when talking about Hillary Clinton later. But listen, oh, that's a whole thing. Okay, this is another weird tangent that I do want to bring up, which is that, you know, Natalie Portman's husband, they divorced because he cheated on her.
Allegedly, just to bring out the Star Jones of it all, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Allegedly, he cheated on her. But the thing that gets me is that he cheated on her with a pretty famous and powerful climate activist. And so it's like this amazing person doing this cool work on one end of the spectrum. And on the other end, it's this 25-year-old girl who went after, or who accepted, whatever it happened, Natalie Portman's husband. And you're like, yeah, my favorite cookie quote of all time in the chat, it was discussing Joyce Maynard. A bitch contains multitudes, and some of them are bad dudes. Okay, that was just a teaser of this episode that is only for our Patreon-only members, and you can hear the whole thing by becoming a Patreon member. For just $1, you get all of the bonus episodes like this one and ad-free listening. For $5 a month, you get the Patreon chat, you get pictures to all the episodes, and so much more. The reason that we do these Patreon-only teasers is to give you an idea of what you would be getting by becoming a member, and that, like, we have tons of good content for our Patreon subscribers, because we quite literally cannot make this podcast without our listeners, the cookies. I'm just so grateful to all of you. I'm so happy you're here. I love making this show. I couldn't do it without our Patreon. And so thank you for becoming a member. Consider joining if you want to hear the rest of this episode. And then get into the comment section, join the book club. There is so much on our Patreon that's so fun to get into, especially the mobile app chat. And all of that's available. And you can sign up in the show notes or go to patreon.com/ChelseaDeVantes.